Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Be sure to follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. I'm Nick Fay. With me today, Harris Wishard. What's up, Harris?
How's it going, Nick? You know, first week of that NBA season, a lot's been going on, so really excited to dive into everything. You know how you say you're not as good as your best game and you're not as bad as your worst, so a lot of overreaction, but a lot of exciting stuff going on, so excited to get into it with you.
Yeah, I know we're excited. We weren't even supposed to do a show today, but the NBA's got us pumped. I know I'm happy.
Nets win.
Barclays last night. Nets pulled off that W for me. I'm pretty good right now.
How was that environment last night, Nick?
You know, it wasn't super crazy. It started to pick up in the second half. I'll tell you, in the fourth quarter, Trevor Booker had a spin move on Thad Young that turned into a dunk. That really got the crowd going. Sean Kilpatrick picked it up in the fourth quarter. He hit some big shots, had some nice crossovers. Up, Jaylen almost had a triple double. It's a gritty team. It's chippy. We've mentioned it before. We think they'll be a little bit better than people think, just because some of these guys, they're not just going to fall down. So I was really happy with it. And the Pacers are a good team to beat, and it's nice to steal one early and get some confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the preview series, we spoke about how important the first 10 games could be. If you look around, you're 6-4. All of a sudden, you have the confidence that you could become a much better basketball team than people think you are. And a lot of people looking at this team as the worst team in the NBA. That I think that's far from the truth. I told you I think they could be a little bit better than that and get to 30, 35 wins in a good year. And Atkinson in his first couple games as a head coach showing that he could stick with guys. And you know, he's a player development coach that's been around for a while. So I think people kind of sleeping on the Nets is a good thing for them. Lynn, like you said, 21-9-9. So people have slept on people before. I mean, I love stories like this. You know, obviously the Linsanity in New York, but you look across sports over the last few years, and even dating back to even something like Tom Brady being a seventh-round draft pick. I mean, you look around the league and you look around sports, and there's plenty of examples of underdogs being a lot better than people think they should be. So this might be a fun team to root for, and Booker's been impressive to me.
Yeah, Booker's been impressive. You talked about underdogs. Jeremy Lin and Sean Kilpatrick, both undrafted guys, both had big games last night. But I'll talk about Booker. He's probably been my favorite Net so far this season. You know, he showed that energy. He plays defense. You know, offensively, he's not that aggressive. He's kind of a little bit tentative to shoot a shot, but he gets those rebounds. He finishes inside. You like what he brings to the team.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like you said, the environment was up and down a little bit. I heard the announcer last night say something like in the third quarter, it was quiet.
But then the fourth, it really started to cook. I was impressed, you know. And I'll say this, the first half, you know, the Nets didn't give the crowd a ton of things to cheer about. So, but when you get a dunk, you know, you got to kind of get things going. They showed a little bit more hustle, which, you know, anytime a hustle play you see on the court, you know, as a fan, you're excited.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about, I wanted to ask you this question. Now we know that the scoring is up. We know the defense is down. So let's take a look at Leonard. Kawhi Leonard's been great in the first two games for the Spurs. Anthony Davis has been a monster child. He looks like a man amongst boys. Dame Lillard, we know what he's done. And then Westbrook with the 51-point triple-double last night. So those four guys have been putting up some insane numbers. Out of those four guys, which one has stuck out the most to be the most impressive over the first week of the season?
I think I'm just going to have to go with Anthony Davis. You know, especially considering how bad the team is that he's on. You know, the lack of talent around him, and he's still putting up points like this. I think I mentioned to you before, like, everybody expected Davis to do this type of thing last year, and now he's doing it this year. He stays healthy. He's going to have a huge season, and, you know, he'll be in that MVP race if he gets his team even in the playoffs, just with the lack of talent on this team. He needs Jrue Holiday back.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to say I'm a big Lillard guy, but I don't see how you don't say Davis. To play devil's advocate, you know, Leonard's on a good team also, so I think he's out of the equation in the who's been most impressive. Westbrook, like we mentioned on the early podcast, he's going to play like someone stole something from his mother's house. He looked like that last night. I mean, he's a man possessed right now, and he's out to prove, as they're 2-0 now, that he can win without Kevin Durant. And they're going to continue to win games. I mean, that's a decent team they have. I haven't studied them closely. I watched some of that overtime game last night, but this is a guy that's just on a mission right now, and he's out to prove that he could be the guy without KD. And obviously there was that was a dysfunctional relationship, but Lillard's been very good, but like you said, Davis doesn't have a number two. Lillard's got McCollum. Westbrook has got Oladipo and talent around him. Leonard obviously on the Spurs. But what Anthony Davis did last night and averaging 47.5 through two games is about as absurd as a start as I've ever seen to an NBA season.
And it just there's not really many players in the league that are a good matchup against him defensively. You know, he's athletic. He's lanky. He can get to the rim. He can shoot the three ball. Defensively, he's a monster. When he plays engaged and, like, he looks so focused, and I don't know, it just looks like he's ready to take that next step as a player. I'm really excited for him this year. But I guess the other guys, you know, we still have to give him credit. They've done amazing. Dame Lillard shooting over 50%, you know. Yeah. He's a big-time guy. Westbrook, you know, he might not be the most efficient guy, but, you know, he's always going to go out there and try his hardest. And he's hitting some crazy shots. I think the Thunder are struggling a little bit more than most people thought they would. Me, personally, too. I mean, I didn't think they'd struggle as much with Philly or Phoenix. Shout out to Eric Bledsoe, though, real quick, because he looked pretty good coming back from injury last night.
Yeah, and I want to call this, you know, I talked about the hustle segment. I'm wearing my Kiff Me Under the Mistletoe Mike Tyson sweater today. So I want to call this the knockout. I think Westbrook's the guy that's always going to be in that conversation, but I do want to shout out Trevor Booker. I think he's been impressive to me, and I'm not just saying this because you're a Nets fan and we live in New York, but hasn't he been a pleasant surprise for you?
Yeah, I don't think many people. I told you early in the season when the Nets signed him, I wanted him to start the four, and I think that's been a lock. No four on the team has been even close to how good he's been, and he gives that team, you know, the starting lineup other than Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's kind of offensive minded, so he kind of gives that defense, that tenacity, and he's willing to work inside. He'll go in there and fight for those boards, and he's had some nice plays defensively, you know, picking up people full court. He was a reason they almost came back against Boston the first night of the season. So shout out to Trevor Booker for sure.
Yeah, and also we've talked about how the offense has been really up, but we did see a game last night between the Cavs and the Raptors that was under 100. I don't know if you saw that highlight. Did you take anything specifically out of that outcome?
I didn't get to see it. Obviously, I was at the game, so I didn't get to watch. I checked out a little bit of the highlights. I mean, one thing I'll say about the Raptors, you know, it's impressive. DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
You know, a league that's focused on three-point shooting. This guy's not a great three-point shooter, but he still finds a way to score. I know he's averaging like 30-plus right now. He had some nice plays, and he's thrown down some nice dunks. Also, Kyrie. Kyrie's been impressive. I think last year that injury kind of bothered him more than people thought. So now this year he's coming in. He's healthy. It looks like LeBron's kind of setting him up more. So I told you this before. I think LeBron might have his best season as a passer. I wouldn't be surprised if he averaged close to 10 assists because he kind of wants to facilitate. That's always what LeBron wanted to do.
Yeah.
And with Kyrie stepping up as that big-time scorer, and even Love had a pretty good game last night too. So I could definitely see it. It's exciting. Well,
this is why numbers, and we talk about the MVP compared to the best player. This is why the numbers get people gassed up and they inflate people's head because – to me, obviously, LeBron is a more valuable player than Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis's numbers will be better. But this is what we talked about last year with Curry and LeBron. With Curry and LeBron, we spoke about who was the best player. It probably was LeBron. But Curry was the most valuable player because his team won 73 games, and he was fantastic from start to finish. So now you look at you have four guys in the conversation right now through a week that look like they're going to have huge seasons. We know Davis, if he stays healthy, he's going to have a huge season. We know Lillard, if he stays healthy, he's going to have a huge season. Westbrook, obviously, and then Leonard will probably have one too. But then who are the three best players in basketball right now? I would still have to say it's LeBron, Curry, and Durant, in my opinion. So, and that's up for debate. I mean, you want to throw Davis in there?
By the end of the season, he's going to get himself back in that contention. I know last year a lot of people were talking about, oh, Anthony Davis can be ready to be one of the best players in the league, and I think this year – if he performs like this on a consistent basis, it's impossible because his impact will be so high.
Yes. Well, do you now, where do you stand on that? Because I think if the Warriors want to go to the next level, Curry's got to become a Nash. And I think Curry's going to, it seems to me like he's kind of struggling with what his role is going to be. Because when you come off a season like he did last year, he's taking a lot of shots still. And he took 19 shots last night, what I guess is probably around his average, and had 7 assists. If his number to me, this is me personally, how I feel, if he takes 15 shots a game and scores about 20, 21, 22, and becomes a 10, 12, 13 assist guy, they're going to be impossible to beat. Because right now you could – if I'm him, let Durant get his 30. Curry, for some reason, is in that mold of, okay, I don't – I think he's struggling a little bit with it the way I watch him play now, because, you know, I love watching him play and I kind of dissect him more than anybody else because he's my favorite player in the league. But I just think if he went more towards that Nash type style and still hit his jumpers when he needed to, this Warriors team could win 70 again.
Yeah, no, I think he could. He could step up more as a passer because of the weapons they do have. But I think an issue with this team has been defensively. If I'm not mistaken, I think they might have the worst defensive efficiency. Obviously, we've only played two games. But I think inside there's some type of issue. I mean, I think all of them kind of have to step up as all-around players more so this year. You know, like, there's going to be nights where Curry's going to get 30. There's going to be nights where Durant gets 30. Same thing for Klay and Draymond Green. So it's kind of like a feel-out thing. I think there's still plenty of time for them. I mean, we remember the Heat teams. In the beginning, they didn't do so well. Everyone was like, oh, my God, this isn't going to work. But now look at it. You know, it worked out just fine. They went to the championship.
And we're not trying to overreact after a week. We're just trying to see. We're kind of just feel out what we saw. But did anyone else feel between the length of Davis and Durant that, like, at one point their hands were going to come through the TV screen and, like, grab you? I mean, these guys, their length is incredible. Like, Durant blocked Davis. Then Davis blocked this guy. These guys are long, like 6'10", 6'11", athletic, can handle it. And Davis's growth spurt was late, so he had the guard handle. And same, yeah. I don't know when Durant grew. He probably woke up at 9 years old and was 7'3". But these two guys, their length is ridiculous, Nick.
Yeah, no, it is. It's ridiculous. Like, getting a shot over Anthony Davis is very difficult. You know, even him and then guys like Rudy Gobert. Some of these dudes are so tall and their wingspan is so crazy too that, and they have a vertical leap. So yeah. Just add that all together. Like, good
Durant
luck trying to
shoot. Looked like a freak last night. Like, some of the dunks he had, he shot 9 of 19, 12 of 12 from the line, and he had 17 defensive rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where they're going to need him. They're going to need him to step up as, you know, more of an all-around player. Pick it up defensively. You know, like we talked about, that length. There's no reason he can't block shots. You know, he's athletic. He can get up. He's just got to work. He's got to focus more on that. He can easily get plenty of steals with that length in the passing lane. So, and rebound. You talked about it. He did it last night. You know, step up in all those fields. And, you know, next thing you know, the Warriors are back to where they were.
Yeah, no Cavs, no Warriors, no Spurs tonight. We'll look at the schedule Saturday, October 29th in the NBA. You know, Atlanta and Philly at 12:30. Anything that specifically stands out to you? You know, your Nets take on the Bucks in Milwaukee. The Knicks have their home opener. I'm sorry, the Cavs are in action. That was my mistake. The Cavs play Orlando at home. But is there anything that sticks out to you on the schedule? No, Cousins back in action. A guy we haven't spoke about is Cousins, too. He'll probably be talked about as a top five, top ten player all year long as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be watching the Nets, obviously, tonight. The Pelicans and Spurs game is pretty interesting as well. That it seems like the Pelicans always play well against the Spurs, kind of make it chippy. Also, probably check out that Timberwolves-Kings game. You know, I haven't got to watch the T-Wolves yet. I want to check on Karl-Anthony Towns. I've been checking out the NBA.com stats and whatnot, and it looks like Thibodeau's already got these guys playing defense. I think they've contested the most shots in the league already.
Yeah, and so, they lost their first game, but they were up against Muhammad's Grizzlies, and they should have won that game. So I don't know. I'm going to try to look at the box of that game. How are they breaking? I mean, Wiggins and Towns are going to be the 20-point game guys. We know that. We know they're going to take their shots. And Wiggins got to the line 14 times in the first game.
That's an impressive stuff. And that's what you like to see at a young player. You know, getting to the line is so important. Getting those foul calls, it helps you so much late in the game too. And it puts pressures on defenders. You know, if that guy's got 3 or 4 fouls, the coach has got to make a decision at some point in the game.
Yeah, so let's make a couple predictions on the two games on NBA TV. I think the Knicks, and they'll talk Knicks-Nets for maybe a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So Memphis at New York, I know you're – let's put your bias aside. Can the Knicks win their home opener tonight?
I think, you know, they've got to bounce back from the performance they had against the Cavs. You know, they played a competitive first half, but then they kind of let things go. That bench has looked a little bit suspect, and I've said this before about the Knicks, is they're not very athletic, but the good thing is they play the Grizzlies, who have some non-athletic players themselves. They're not over-the-top athletes. But I think both teams – it's going to be a good game. I think it's a good matchup. The Knicks are going to be playing hard because they want to win in MSG. You know, it's their home opener. Yeah. Derrick Rose, Noah's playing in New York City at home for the first time as a Knick, so I think that's big for him.
Yeah, I like the Knicks tonight by 5.
I think 6. It's a last-second type of shot.
Yeah, because I think Memphis – you're probably right. I think Memphis – is one of those teams that'll grind and grit. They only beat the Timberwolves by four. You know, I really think the Knicks in their home opener, a lot of excitement, a lot of hype around the Knicks tonight. The Garden will be buzzing with excitement tonight. I like the Knicks in single digits, though. Like you said, it could come down to last possession. One of those games where they make a big shot, then make some free throws. But I like the Knicks in single digits tonight.
Yeah, Melo looked pretty good against the Cavs. He was kind of cooking a little bit.
Yeah, in the first quarter he came. He likes playing LeBron. You know he does.
Yeah, he does. I think he just gets up for that. But I think this is a team that the Knicks match up pretty well. I'll let them get the W here, and like you said, home opener.
I know that pains you. I know you said it pains you to see. I mean, you look all around the league, right? And you know, look at all these ticket prices and $54, $33, and then the average price tonight for the Knicks is $108. So we know how expensive. The ticket is in New York tonight, but let's move on to the Nets. And can the Nets win two in a row and then go to Milwaukee and win this game tonight?
I pray to God they can.
Oh, here we go.
No, I think it's a possibility. The Bucks aren't, a crazy team by any standard. So the Nets thing is, though, they have to focus and play defense for the whole game. In that fourth quarter, they played defense as a team. And, they have a few guys that are good defenders. But other than that, they need to play as a unit because, they're not overly – crazy defensively, so I could see the Nets keeping this one close, and they'll have a chance, I think, at the end, because I don't think the Bucks are that crazy, especially with the loss of Chris Middleton.
I'm gonna pick the Bucks, but I'm not gonna count the Nets out. Here's why I'm gonna pick the Bucks.
Their own one.
Back to back. Tough emotional home opener last night, and then the Greek Freak, I think, causes problems for the Nets. And I like Hollis Jefferson, but I don't really see anybody who could really stop the Greek Freak.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Rondé, he seemed to like hurt his ankle or knee last night.
Yeah, he got banged up last night, yeah.
Yeah, he did a really good job on Paul George, though, last night. I think Paul George maybe had like 21 points, but it wasn't very good shooting night. He seemed to stay in front of him, and most of his points really came on Bojan Bogdanovic and on pick and roll. So shout out to Rondé. He's impressed me as a defender so far this season.
All right. So you're rooting for the Nets. I'm going to pick the Knicks and the Bucks both at home. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Nets win, though. And now
I'll give the Nets my love, and I'm going to give them – I think they steal one right here because they're going to need to steal games when they can, and I think this is one they could probably steal.
All right, yeah. And if you're going to win 30 or 35, you got to win some games like this, but I'll go with the Bucks. Pelican – we'll take the two NBA TV games, and then, I guess we'll wrap up wrap up the show for today. But what do you like, Pelicans at the Spurs?
I'm not rooting against the Spurs at home.
No.
Kawhi has looked very good. Kawhi looks like he's taking that next step. I've seen more emotion in him and I've seen in the first game than I probably saw all of last season.
Yeah, that's true. So, the guy, I mean, you see the he tried to, the reporter tried to make him smile.
Yeah.
He like briefly smiled and it was like, let me get out of my feelings for a second.
Yeah. Back to stone face.
Yeah.
But I think Anthony Davis is going to have another great performance. Pop will probably try to, limit him a little bit more than the other two teams that he's faced have. But I think the Spurs kind of look very good right now, and I don't see the Pelicans winning with the talent they have.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to go with both of us Spurs. The only thing we really disagree on is the Nets, but I think, like you said, I'll root for them tonight. Minnesota at Sacramento. That's the last game we'll look at. This could be a good one.
This could be a good one. This is a very good young team, and the Timberwolves and the Kings. This is a team that everyone's kind of talked a lot of shit about, and they're kind of true people wrong. They got that new stadium. This is going to be in Sacramento too. So, I don't know if you saw, they have this like awesome virtual reality thing with the Kings' new stadium. If you have that like Samsung virtual reality, whatever. So. It's if you have that and you have League Pass, it'll be like you're sitting in courtside seats watching the game.
Wow, awesome! So I want to do one more thing. Predict, and I know I don't know if you're looking at the schedule. There's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think there's 9 games tonight. Nine games. Who do you think? Which player do you think will score the most points tonight individually? I have mine. I hope you're not going to take my guy. I hope you're not, because I think it's I think it's a no brainer. I think.
I think it's going to be Dame Lillard against the Nuggets.
Yeah, man, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean,
Lillard, yeah, he's going to go off against the Nuggets. Yeah.
Also, you could see. I mean, there's so many guys. You know who had a pretty nice game at their for coming home? Dwight Howard, in Atlanta. I think he should.
Yeah, but at Philly on a Saturday afternoon, he probably went out last night. No, I'm just kidding. Dwight will have a good game.
He could have.
But yeah, no, Dwight will have a good game. I think the Cavs will blow out the Magic, so I don't think
the Magic are kind of looked a little bit rough. I haven't watched them particularly. I just saw the box scores. But we talked about it in the past is that there's going to be some issues on that team offensively. They have some great defensive players.
How do you feel about Wade apologizing for doing that gesture after he hit that shot?
Wade is a professional. Yeah. You know, like he probably didn't feel he had to apologize, but he knew it was the right thing to do.
Right.
He didn't have to do it for sure because I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah.
I'm kind of annoyed. Like the NFL does that too. I remember the Packers player Nick Perry got a sack early in the season. He did that and they were like, oh, 15-yard penalty.
Yeah.
Like, bro, calm down.
He doesn't really mean it to say like I want to hurt somebody. He's just like, hey, I'm emotional. It's his first game back and he had a big shot. So
I mean, it just means he ended the game. Like he didn't like he wasn't like, yo, Isaiah Thomas, I'm killing you. Like you know what I mean? Like he was just like
it's just like when Vince Carter did it in the dunk contest. It's like over, this is over.
Exactly.
I don't think he meant to like slit anybody's throat. Like there clearly wasn't that kind of intent. Like it just wasn't.
Talking about the Bulls, I'll be the first one to say their 3-point shooting had me off guard for sure.
Yeah. Well, Mirotić.
Yeah, well, Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade were hitting threes. Wade was, like, dropping threes like he's been doing it for 10 years. And I was like, what?
Yeah, that's crazy. That was crazy. But, yeah, I mean, I look for Lillard to be huge tonight. I'm not, like I said, I'm not a fantasy guy as much as – I don't play as much as you guys do in the FanDuel and DraftKings out there. But I would look to Lillard. I would look to, like, games that are going to be exciting and close. I mean, I would say
– Kristaps to have a big game tonight because he was kind of quiet in the home opener. And
I don't know. Melo wants that ball in the home opener, man.
True. True. I think it's tough. That team just needs a little bit of time to get some chemistry together because I think everybody kind of wants to shoot a little bit more. But if they were able to pass the ball and have an unselfish team, they'd be very good. You know, if they played as a unit, they have some very talented players in that team.
I think we can guarantee a couple things. I mean, not guarantee, but we could think that this could probably happen. Memphis and the Knicks is going to be close. Brooklyn and Milwaukee is going to be close. Minnesota, Sacramento is probably going to be close. So those, to me, are the three best fantasy games. I think those are the three best fantasy games.
I like the Bulls. I think the Bulls and Pacers game will be fun to watch too.
Yeah, but I think that's under 100. That could be under 100. Both those games could be under 100, though.
It could be. Yeah, it could. But, I mean, I think it's more so of the Pacers and Bulls of old because I think both of these teams now are looking to be a little bit more offensive. With Fred Hoiberg for the Bulls and then Nate McMillan for the Pacers. Yeah. I think the league in general is just getting away from defense. It just seems like, I don't
know. You have to defend to win championships. Like a lot of people are saying, oh, there's no defense in the regular season. This is basically what the NBA has turned into. The Spurs will defend you. The Warriors will defend you. The Cavs will defend you. But now it's gotten to the point where only in the postseason. So a lot of these teams' perimeter defense is like, you know what? We'll give you a basket. The Suns started it. What's different between what D'Antoni and the Suns did and what's different between what the Warriors did is the Warriors were much better defensively, and that's why they won a title. In order to win a title, you have to play defense, but a lot of people are like, oh, the regular season is not worth watching. This is still exciting stuff. There's just not as much perimeter defense. Interior-wise, it's a little bit better than I thought it would be. But listen, you saw a 97-91 game last night, a 96-89 game last night, a 94-91 game last night. So – there are some games, and nobody scored more than 122, and that was Golden State. So there is some defense being played, but it's just selective, and it's not all game long.
And I mean, like, I'm not that upset about it. Like, it's the first couple weeks of the season. A lot of these teams are still getting into their thing, finding out the rotations. You know, it's a difference between, you know, playing defense now. You know, teams like the Rockets aren't going to play defense all year.
Yeah.
But some of these teams, like you said, the postseason comes along, they're going to pick it up. And I don't really mind because you can appreciate plenty of other things these guys do on the court. So I'm not one to complain.
It's gotten to the point where, like, defense is optional. It's like when a teacher says, you know, this is extra credit. It's going to help your grade, but, you know, you don't have to do it. It's not, like, mandatory anymore. It's really interesting to see how the league has developed because in the 90s, if you didn't play D, you were going to get killed. I snapped this yesterday on my Snapchat. I said, we're not in the 90s anymore. Look at the top scores in the NBA right now, and it's going to be like that. It's an inflation. And Bill Simmons talks about in this book all the time about the inflation of numbers, and we're seeing an inflation. We're in an era of inflation right now.
Very true. Yeah, so I'll enjoy it, though. I don't mind the inflation.
No, I don't mind it either. And listen, enjoy the games tonight, man. Enjoy these games. I'm going to root for your Nets tonight. I'll tune into the Knicks. I'll probably be at some sort of Halloween gathering. What's your Halloween costume? Do you have one?
I don't know if I'm doing anything for Halloween, but me and my girlfriend were thinking about dressing up as Cheech and Chong.
Oh, okay. I'm single. I'm going to do my solo costume for the third straight year. I'm going to do Captain Crunch. But listen, you'll see it on Instagram, though. I'm going to do it different this year. This year, I'm going to put, you know how the leggings they wear in the NBA?
Yeah.
I'm going leggings with my Kyrie sneakers and shorts with the Captain Crunch top. So it's there, like, I'm go. A Captain Crunch basketball player instead of just strictly Captain Crunch this year.
Getting creative over there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I definitely can't wait to see this picture.
Yeah, no, it's going to be very, very funny. I'm telling you right now, I have my basketball ready. I'm going to have a pose. I'll have my beautiful mother take a picture of it, and it's going to be very entertaining. That's going to happen around 8 o'clock. So be on the lookout for that. I got to get to this. I got a basketball clinic that I got to get to today, but enjoy the rest of your day, guys. And enjoy these games tonight, Nick.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Harris. Great show. Everybody, thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, SoundCloud, comment section, like, dislike. We want to hear what you think about
The live shows are going to be big throughout the week. We're going to take tweets.
Yeah.
And we'll come on, what'd you say, twice a week probably?
Yeah, we're going to come on twice a week live, and then we'll be dropping these regular shows all the time.
Right.
You know, so be sure to listen. Let us know what you think. If you hate us, let us know. If you like us, let us know.
The criticism is good because then it allows us to kind of work on what we need to work on, and the love is – and we've said it throughout the preview series. The love is always great. I've been telling people to subscribe and chime in on Twitter. The beautiful thing about the world today is that everybody has a voice. And you know, it's a great thing to throw on Twitter and get this discussion going. And we'll talk about various topics. I know today we stuck with strictly stats sometimes, but if you want to call in and talk about how you think, James Harden is the best defender in the league, we're probably not going to listen to that. But if you want to talk about how James Harden needs to do this, you know, we'll probably listen to that. So tweet us, definitely tune in, and we definitely appreciate all the support, Nick.
Yeah, and one more thing. I send my condolences to Vine. Twitter announces this week that Vine is done, and it's going to be shut down. So
RIP to Vine, and Twitter killed it. But Snapchat's played a role in a powerful social media tool.
Yeah, and Instagram have really hurt that. But I'll miss it. It's definitely helpful for the site and helpful for all NBA fans to see those dunks. But
yeah, definitely. But YouTube is, and then the videos that you've been posting on Twitter have been really good, and definitely the Instagram page. And what, you should remind everybody, the Instagram page is what?
Off_the_glass_. So follow Off the Glass on Instagram. Our boy Jonathan Ibrahim runs that. He's done a great job.
He's done a fantastic job, is what he's done.
Exactly. So shout out to him. Shout out to everybody for all the support and love. We'll talk to you next time.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.